Thank you, Jim Garlow. Always appreciate his thoughts. 39 minutes past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Dr. Kent Kaiser from the University of Northwestern. Kent, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Recent Gallup poll shows America's trust in the media has plummeted to new lows. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. But share some of the findings with us, if you would.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting to see, especially among Republicans, the trust in media has plummeted. With Republicans, it's plummeted from 41% to 14% in the period that the poll was taken, which was just from 1997 to today, so about a 20-year period. Now, with Democrats, it's just slightly over half who still trust the media. But even among Democrats, it's fallen from about two-thirds who trusted the media. And then with independents, they're somewhere in between, as usual. But it is interesting to see how very low that trust in media is with Republicans. Only 14%. That's just extremely low. Think of that. That's 86% of the people don't trust the media. So you have to wonder exactly where are they getting their information and how are they filtering it. Hopefully they're getting it from Faith Radio.
Well, there's been some pretty egregious examples just in the last decade or so of press not reporting accurately, blowing things out of proportion. And I don't know what the stats are. You may know this. The percentage of mainline media people who would say that they're Democrats, or would say at least they say they're politically liberal. I'm guessing it's a significant proportion.
Yeah, I don't know what the percent is either, but in the past I've seen those statistics, and it is pretty high. What's interesting is what you have to ask is how does that manifest itself in the media? And just an example this week, Donald Trump was talking about Muslims and how we might prevent more terrorists from coming into the country. And he said in a longer speech, he was talking about all the things we might do. And among the words that he used was profile, that we would look to their profile and so on. And CNN injected the word into this whole reporting all day long. This was yesterday or the day before. All day long, they said he was calling for racial profiling, which was absolutely false. Well, so just that little example, it's not really a little example, it's a big example, of all day long saying that Donald Trump was for racial profiling. Well, of course, that's a buzzword, a real touch point for a lot of people, racial profiling, and so therefore vilifying the candidate with words he didn't even use. And that's from what was supposed to be mainstream media, and it was news. It was not commentary. It was news all day long. But that's just one little example, and you can point to those sorts of examples, and you can't point to examples of the media, mainstream media, being conservative.
Right.
You never see them insert little words or phrases that would be detrimental to a Democratic candidate. And there's others. Over the years, people have analyzed the use of words like radical Republican or words like right-wing Republican. You never hear the mainstream media refer to left-wing Democrats, even though if you look at the political spectrum, the Democrats today, the middle of their party is pretty far to the left and probably arguably farther to the left than the Republican Party is to the right.
Now, there was a time in this country, and maybe it was a long time ago, where journalists, subscribed to a code of ethics.
Right.
It seems like when you hear situations like this, who's providing oversight? There's really nobody. It's kind of like, okay, CNN decides to use the word racial profiling. Trump never said it. Nobody stops it. No, it just goes out over the airwaves and Americans buy it.
Well, and thankfully today we do have social media. So Twitter exploded when CNN was doing this. But still today, most people get their information from television. And so if they're watching CNN, there's nobody there to correct it. You're right. There's nobody there to filter what's coming through CNN. And so then this makes it all the more imperative that people be very careful about their media choices. And there's really something to this. People often want to say Fox News is to the right. Well, it's no more to the right than some of the what we call mainstream media are to the left. And there's this theory about business operations. If you have a if you have a lemonade stand and you're on the beach, you put it in a location, you start to get lots of customers. Second person wants to set up a lemonade stand, they go right next to you because that's where the customers are. Third one does the same thing, and that's kind of like ABC, CBS, and NBC. Fourth lemonade stand comes along, a person comes along, wants to start a lemonade stand. They go, oh, I'm not going to go there. That's saturated. I'm going to go down the beach. And that's kind of what Fox News did, went down the beach and found that there's a whole other customer base. And you can see why in incidents like this, like yesterday or the day before, whenever it was, when we had CNN injecting these highly charged words into the campaign that Donald Trump didn't even use.
Now, you mentioned alternative media sources. It seems like a lot of younger Americans in particular are turning to social media and to blogs and other places. How reliable are those?
Well, they're not totally. And backing up a moment, I don't know to what extent young people are actually going to social media for news. I don't think young people pay enough attention to news in any given day in the classroom. If I bring up a topic, you know, that's in the news, I'm actually more surprised that a student has heard it than if they say that they haven't.
Oh,
so
that's kinda
sad.
Yeah,
it is unfortunate, but unless they're sort of forced through some lesson in school or something to be paying attention.
A test from Dr. Kaiser.
Right. unless they have to pay attention to it, I think many times they just sort of get wrapped up with school. And I think it's the same thing with many people in everyday life, kind of get wrapped up in their jobs and raising their families and so on. And so most people aren't really seeking out a lot of information. And so unfortunately, they are bombarded with these sort of left-wing messages from mainstream media because that's the thing that they're most likely to come into contact with. Now, if they're information seekers, then it's a different thing. Then they're probably seeking out information that aligns with their worldview. And thankfully, in a Christian campus like we have at Northwestern, the students are probably seeking out information that's going to align with the Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, in this country, there's very few people that are information seekers. They're
right.
Just kind of passively sitting there watching ABC, CBS, NBC feeding them their company line, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our guest, Dr. Kent Kaiser, he's the chair of the Communications Department, University of Northwestern St. Paul. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio. Good morning. 48 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Dr. Kent Kaiser from University of Northwestern. He's one of our political contributors here. And Kent, let's dive into the presidential election for a moment. Given the very scary weekend of terrorist attacks here in this country, including right here in Minnesota, how has each of the candidates responded in some of their public statements?
Well, I think we've seen them respond like we might have expected. Again, Trump had this statement about really checking on who's coming into this country. And, it's interesting. He had an ad called the Skittles ad. It shows a picture of a bowl of Skittles. And it basically says something to the effect that if I had this bowl of Skittles and only three of the Skittles could kill you and I told you to take a handful, would you?
Mm.
And he said, that's the problem we've got with the Muslim immigration. It's not that all are bad, but we aren't really screening for those ones that could kill us. And it somehow became a very controversial ad. I thought it was poignant. I thought it made the point quite well, actually. And so that's been his response, and Hillary Clinton's response has been similar to the Obama administration's response, which is rather weak, and talking about how we shouldn't, single people out and so on. I think it's what we might have expected. It'll be interesting now. We have a debate coming up on Monday at Hofstra University, and surely this will be one of the main topics. It's got to be. And it'll be interesting to see how the two candidates handle this. I think that Donald Trump probably has the upper hand in this part of the debate on this particular topic. And I think that when these issues of what are really international affairs – are at the forefront, he's going to do better.
Interesting. Even given her experience and credibility.
I think that Donald Trump can throw her experience right back in her face and say, look, nearly every foreign policy that she's been behind and every action she's been behind internationally has been a disaster. And he'll just go through the list of of from Benghazi on down the line to say, you know, she's her foreign policy is what really set up the problems that we've got in the Middle East right now, including that Muslim immigration, that wave of immigration, both to Europe and to the United States.
Well, let's hope that he does his homework so he's prepared for that debate.
And by the way, it sounds like she's really doing her homework. She's got two public events this week, one in Pennsylvania, one in Florida. And other than that, all she's doing, all Clinton is doing is debate preparation.
Hmm.
So she's concerned about Donald Trump in this debate. I think she's probably concerned about which Donald Trump is going to show up.
That's very true.
The really measured presidential one or the really animated, unpredictable one that maybe we've seen in some past debates.
I think we speculated about this. Do you think her advisors, her handlers are saying, try to do some things to get under Trump's skin to make him lose it in the debate?
I bet that that will be the case. But I think that Trump is going to be ready for it. And I can just see the quips already that, you know, if she starts, you know, kind of hounding him or trying to get under his skin, he'll come back with some quip that'll make everybody laugh and then he'll be the winner.
Mm.
You know, all he has to say is, you know, stop henpecking me or something like that. And everybody's going to laugh. And everybody's going, oh, yeah, she's kind of mean. And as a woman candidate, she's got this fine line to walk so that it doesn't come across as being witchy, let's just say. And he's got a fine line to walk too, where he can't look like he's bullying her or something. And that's what, in the past, when Clinton was running for U.S. Senate in New York, her opponent, Rick Lazio, did appear to be bullying at one point. They had two podiums. They were each behind a podium. And at one point, Lazio left from behind his podium and went over to her. And with a piece of paper for her to sign. Mm. And it seemed very aggressive.
Right.
And she went on to win that election by 12 points. And it had been a close election prior to that in the polls.
Big mistake on his part. What's the polling right now in some of those key states look like? I know in the last couple of weeks, it's become much closer.
It has become closer, and I still don't see any states where Trump would win where Romney didn't. And so I think we're still at this point where it's Clinton's advantage, but some of the key states are like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida. The race has tightened up, or Trump's even ahead in a couple of them. But again, he really needs to pick up some states like Pennsylvania and others in order to have the advantage.
Hmm. Now, there's been a lot of talk about how divided we are as a nation between the two parties. There's also divisions on where you live, whether you live in a city or a rural area. That's been kind of interesting to see some of the polling results there.
Right. Well, it shows pretty clearly that urban areas are going for Clinton and the rural areas are going for Trump. And this is all across the country. And it's in places. This is a different kind of election. It's not so much Democratic, Republican. It's about different classes of people, I think. And you see it borne out in these polls where it's urban versus rural. It's also maybe what you might call blue collar versus white collar. It's kind of the elites, educated elites are typically going for Clinton, where kind of more blue collar and regular people, I guess you might say, are for Trump. And it's by big margins in these areas. I mean, you look at just a state like Minnesota, which is a great one to look at because there's one city, basically. It's the Twin Cities, but it's one urban area and then a lot of rural area. And Trump is doing extremely well in those rural areas. In fact, the congressional candidates on the Republican side are very much tying themselves to Trump, knowing that he's probably going to have a little bit of coattails that could help to pull them up. Whereas in the urban area, you see the Republicans really distancing themselves from Trump. Because they just know that the electorate in the urban area here in the Twin Cities is not going to be so much for Trump.
Hmm.
And it's the same thing going all across the country.
I saw some a story on the two candidates in the Duluth area in that particular congressional district, which I guess extends down towards the Twin Cities.
Right.
And as you said, the Republican aligning himself with Trump. And, of course, given a lot of the blue-collar workers in Duluth and some of the situations that they've had to deal with the federal government and regulation, it stands to reason that he would.
Well, it's the federal and state government, run by Democrats right now, that is so detrimental to, especially, you know, northeastern Minnesota. I think all Trump has to do is go to the Iron Range in Minnesota and say China a couple of times, and he'll win overwhelmingly. I hope he comes to Minnesota. But when he comes to Minnesota, I hope he goes up there to the Iron Range, not to Duluth, not to the Twin Cities, but right there to Hibbing or Virginia.
All right. Dr. Kent Kaiser, thank you so much for your time today. Next Monday is the debate, and we'll have you recap that afterwards. So
thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care.